And all this week, Cian McCormack has talked to Paralympians in London. There's no doubt that they'll be given a rapturous welcome when they come home. They're due into Dublin Airport at 8 p.m. on Monday night. We've heard throughout the week about lives of determination, hope and true grit. Our athletes dared to dream and dared to win. They showed us you can do anything you want to do.
If something happens that you have a disability, I think it's a compensation somewhere else.
For me, I was here to do a job, and that job was to deliver a performance that we planned for 9 months. And luckily enough, that meant I got a gold medal.
5 minutes to go. He's destroyed the field. His time is going to be inside 5 minutes. It's gold for Ireland. 4:55.56 seconds for Darragh MacDonald.
Totally speechless at the moment. Seeing the flag come up is just a dream come true, and hearing the anthem, I have no words to describe it. But a day I'll certainly remember for the rest of my life anyway.
Coming first was such a shock and everything. I said a prayer before I went in, and it really helped there. So great.
I was diagnosed with MS in 06. I got on a boat for the first time in 09. Early the following 2011, I was walking certainly 2 kilometres easily. I was rowing 15 kilometres easily.
I mean, as champion from Beijing, you're under pressure to come out and do the same again, and thankfully I did. And the bonus of a world record on the back of that just makes it a little bit more sweeter.
What is the plan then for the future?
I don't really know. I'll have to see where it goes. I myself suffer with a progressive degenerative disorder, so I'm not sure how long the horses are in the future, but they're certainly, for right now, I hope to keep going.
Going from my mom, and she deserves it all, as well as my dad. They brought me up from such a young age with a disability. They've done so much to make me able to run these races, and I owe it all to them.
My amputation was the start of my life. At 27, that's when my life started. I'm representing my country. I have the green jacket on. I'm just amazed with everything here.
Barack Obama is a caring man. He helped the helpless with a great health plan, because he's got the mojo, he's got the plan. Folks, if he can't do it, no one can.
Around the office and on the windows outside, blue and red posters read Women for Obama and African Americans for Obama. And for David Bond, race is an issue in this election.
We got a terrible history of slavery, terrible, and Jim Crow, terrible. But what's going on now is people are coming together. When I walk in that office and I see all these people working for Barack Obama, 20 years ago, I couldn't talk to you because you're white. In this state, I remember working where they had colored and white. But I see the people coming together now. You got more white people coming together, the young people, and they are getting rid of this foolishness.
Talking to you, race is a big issue in this election.
It's a big issue to everybody, so I want to make sure understand that.
Oh, yeah,
but I'm just willing to speak about it.
Mitt Romney's Real Recovery Rally touched down at Newport News close to 9:30 last night. And the arrival of his jet, covered with blue writing reading Believe in America, drew excitement from the crowd.
The next Commander-in-Chief of the United States of America, Mitt Romney!
His response was to call for people to get out and vote.
Our destiny is in your hands. 2 more days.
We can get to work rebuilding our country. I know that we can make it happen. We're so very, very close. So the door to a brighter future, it's there. It's open to us. It's waiting for us. I need your vote. I need your help. Walk with me. Let's walk together.
With Romney and Obama level pegging in the polls, both nationally and in Virginia, the Republican candidate made it.
Well, Cathal, in 1992, Donegal brought Sam back to the hills, and now they're hoping they can do that a second time. Octomi Gil Garanish, Oit Anavro Dool, Oiti Gantor Gaeltocht, August Tom, Bolia Gloucester Suisi Gloss, August Orr, August Tolon Dini, Ernos Nagehe. And that pride and excitement is best reflected by the children at Skull Cara Nefa here in Kilcar.
From Kilcar.
Just tell me what we're looking at here today.
A bunch of children wearing Donegal jerseys.
Why are you wearing Donegal jerseys?
Because we know Donegal's going to win.
It's good to support your county because they're going to win.
Who are your favourite players on the team?
Paddy and Mark.
What do you think of Jim McGuinness?
Well, he's good too. And he helped them get better.
Cian McCormack is on the road for us, gauging the mood and gathering opinions on what Michael Noonan should do. This morning he's in Kilkenny. Cian, you mentioned earlier that you've been talking to older people, and with the budget just a week away, Cian McCormack is on the road for us, gauging the mood and gathering opinions on what Michael Noonan should do. This morning he's in Kilkenny. Cian, you mentioned earlier that you've been talking to older people, and just like Brian Dowling was saying earlier as well, they're angry.
They are, Rachel, and you'll hear that in the voices that are coming up in just a few moments. And just like what we heard earlier on from farmers, the rising cost of fuel is certainly emerging as a concern. And for 69-year-old widow Nora Webster, a member of Older and Bolder, dearer fuel is a big worry.
A contributory old age pension is €230 in the week. When I leave the post office, I have to pay rent, electricity, gas, all the other bits and pieces I have to pay. I come out of the post office with roughly €100 in my pocket, and that has to last me from Friday to Friday. That's for food, all the bits and pieces you have to get, and believe you and me, you want it very much at the end of the week. I have great concerns that they're going to cut the old age pension again, probably take the fuel allowance off us. So if they're going to cut that again, I mean the hard winters and so on we have, what are we going to do? How are we going to heat ourselves? And I mean, there's a lot of older people than me that are in a very, very bad state. They don't put on the fires in the morning. They don't put on the fires maybe until late at night. And they mostly go around kind of with hot water bottles and as much clothes as they can on them and just try to keep themselves warm during the day. It's disgraceful. It makes me feel very angry at the moment.
72-year-old Timothy Hayde is very angry too. He's uneasy about budget predictions.
Well, I'm actually feel a bit terrified of this budget because I suffer a lot from bad health. I'm afraid of my life. When I got the medical card when I reached 70, it was actually a blessing to me. I felt real good. Now, if I lost my medical card and lost everything else down the road, and I had to even have it, I'd die. I would be sentenced to death. It would be as simple as that. It's the things that's going out into the public arena about cuts here and cuts there. I don't know what they're going to do. I'm afraid they cut me pension. I'm afraid they maybe take the medical card off me. It's this terror that I'm living with. And thousands of people in this country are living with the exact same terror that I feel. There is a terror in this country. And I do get a bit fed up of politicians telling me that we can cut you. It's the poor they're cutting. I resent is these politicians, how I should live. These guys run 90,000, some of them with expenses, 150. How I should live and how other old age pensioners live. I think it's disgraceful. I think they're sick. Why are we letting these guys off with it? The truth is, they are selfish, greedy people, and I don't apologise for saying it. And I'm sick of politicians telling me down through the years that they were doing things for my interest. They're not doing things for my interest. They don't give a damn. You know, if you hear that man on your station this morning, radio, that man of Vincent Appal, what did he say? He spoke to the Troika, and they give no sympathy for all he explained about the poor and what they're going through in Ireland. They didn't even care. Now, this guy are unelected representatives. I never heard of Dáil people attacking these people in a vicious way. How dare these people, unelected people, tell Arnie D, some working class people of Europe, not just Ireland, we're all suffering and nobody cares, to placate a crowd of the rich who have paid back nothing, robbed this country. As far as I'm concerned, I use the word robbed this country, and I just sick to my ear about the whole of it.
Right now, we're looking at a banner, and it says, Boston, you're our home. And everyone is just writing messages of hope and love and basically peace for everyone involved.
People have gathered here tonight. There are candles lighting. People are writing messages. What does this say about Boston?
We're strong and we're resilient and we're not afraid and we're always going to stick together. It's the biggest small city. There's a community feel no matter where you are, and we're going to stick together no matter what.
Did you write a message here?
I did. I wrote strength, unity, and love.
I think, you know, it echoes what President Obama and Mayor Menino and everybody has said about Boston, how resilient we are. You know, I saw on one of the banners, in this darkness, we will find light. So I think it just really echoes those sentiments.
Of course, over the next few days, the focus will be on the people who have lost their lives. Also, as well, the focus will be on the investigation.
Mm-hmm. I think right now it's just a lot of confusion.
What do people want to see happening?
So I think now we're all just kind of taking a step back, I hope, and, you know, seeing what the authorities have to say, and hopefully they'll have some answers for us in the next couple of days.
We need to find these guys and see what, you know, what went on and why this happened. And people, you know, people want answers still. I think that's what needs to happen. But I think we need to come together and not let this break us apart and just stick together.
Voices from Boston Common last night. Cian, what's the latest with the investigation?
Well, pictures have been released by the FBI and Homeland Security, and those pictures, they show parts of the device. They appear to look like parts of a pressure cooker, and investigators are also saying as well that they've recovered ball bearings and nails from the scene of the bombing.
The 8-year-old Martin Richard was from actually down the block there. So a lot of people here knew him, and they know the family.
It's a numbing experience, and it's still kind of, I can't believe this has happened. It happens everywhere around the world, and today it's happened here.
Grief resonates sharply in Dorchester's Adams Village.
This neighborhood is kind of a very tight-knit community. The bombing did happen in downtown Boston, but it's sad to know that someone specifically from our community was affected.
There are strong Irish connections here.
It's been a very tough week here in this area. As we all know, one eight-year-old kid is dead, and his sister has her leg amputated, and she was into the Irish dancing. And it's just hard to swallow this one.
So it's $5.95 for the sandwich, and just charge you $2.
That's Dermot Quinn owns the Green Hill Bakery, and that's across the road from the Curra Bistro, the Era Pub, and Mrs. Murphy's Kitchen.
Thank you. Everybody's talking about it. They're a very, very nice family and very involved in the community in every way. And, you know, they're Irish, first generation Irish ancestors.
8-year-old Martin Richard, who was killed in the Marathon bombing, lived just a few blocks away.
Just to know that there's another family around in the neighbourhood that this happened to is enough.
Susie Flaherty finds what happened difficult to take in. Her children went to the same school as Martin.
It's horrible. Yeah, it's unimaginable, actually, to me as a mother. It's very scary to think that you want to take your kids to a family event, and that's what happened. It goes out for the family, it goes out for the dad. His whole family was blown apart. And I mean, it's just hard. It's hard to talk about, actually. Like Danny said, you'll just be around and you'll do whatever we can for them, whatever it is. It's almost like we don't know what to do right now, so whatever they need, there'll be people to do it.
Martin's death and the injuries suffered by his mother and sister have shocked everyone. It's something local man Bobby Devine thought would never visit his community.
We had a vigil last night. A number of my friends with children the same age, they were asking, Dad, we're going to see Martin again. you know, so that hit kind of home. One minute I'm playing with the kids, and next thing you know, they're asking about Martin. So it's just really tough, you know. And then to live two blocks away, it's like just sleepless nights too, you know, the last couple of nights.
Kieran McCormick, just let's start from the beginning. What's clear about this shooting of a police officer? What happened and what happened afterwards?
Well, just to explain, Cathal, it's a live event at the moment, so things are a little bit unclear, but what has been confirmed is the death of that police officer at the MIT campus, and it appears that a manhunt followed after that. But now what's happening is that in the Watertown area, there's a police operation that appears to be going on there. People have been asked to stay in their homes, and it's not clear really at this stage whether there's a connection between the two instances. There are reports of a huge police presence, of some explosions, maybe some shots being fired. But as I say, it is somewhat unclear at the moment, and it is a breaking story.
It's the final of the year's breeding.
Weeks of preparations.
Fill up the basin or of water, like, and put in shampoo.
Hair dryers, shampoo, and flapping birds in kitchen sinks. Michelle Kiley, Secretary of the Irish Society of Poultry Fanciers.
There's loads of washing and hair blow drying and everything gone into these birds over the last week now, so you'd be in there in the kitchen in the sink with your hen trying to wash them and blow dry them and everything like a hairdresser.
Some birds get to go to the dog groomers while others have their feathers dried in front of fires before this event.
Well, I leave them dry overnight. I put them in front of the fire, you know, in cages.
Okay.
Stanley I have, and I let them they dry out overnight.
Just in case you don't know, this event is the Irish Society of Poultry Fanciers' 26th national show.
A good standard. A lot of people have spent a lot of time, a lot of effort.
Over 580 birds were entered into the event. There was a mix of colours and...
Wise men say...
Despite what the wise men say, fools do rush in. Attraction is important. And for Fiona Newell, professor in the schools of psychology and neuroscience at Trinity College, love at first sight can happen.
Science has shown that the first 100 milliseconds of being exposed to a person's face can determine a lot of your behaviour. Subsequently, whether you find that person attractive or not, whether you're going to make a decision to approach that person or not, there's been a lot of science behind what is it about a face and what is it about the features of a face that we might find attractive. So we know now at this stage, for example, that we show a preference for average faces. So faces that are much more typical looking, we all tend to like more.
Joe and Lucy Lane first met in 1961 when they were rehearsing for the Murray Widow with the Rathmines and Rathgar Musical Society. They're now married 50 years.
I wouldn't think it was love at first sight. Now, we both, I would say. Our meeting was literally on the floor of the rehearsal room. Propinquity, I suppose, had a lot to do with it.
We were married then in 1962. It was all very quickly happened after that.
Does the love still exist between the two of you?
Yes, I think so. It's a different kind of situation. It grows and one depends on each other much more, particularly at a time when I was very ill in the course of the last 7 years. It was then that I realised how important your wife and your family are to you.
As Joe says, it changes, it deepens, it has many tests, which, now, we have the odd argument, who doesn't? Which, see, that I think is the essence of real love, that you can disagree a lot and you can agree a lot, because we're two separate people who manage to have a very, very happy life together.
Love is real. Real is love.
Well,
John Lennon's Love there, ending that report from our very own Valentine, Cian McCormack. And you see, can see Cian's lovely report there with pictures on Morning Edition with Keelan between 9 and 11.
And for all those worried listeners out there, we should say normal service will resume at 7 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah, there less won't be love, any love, more argy-bargy. So enjoy all the good vibes today.